Welcome again to Marin Covenant Church. My name is Ben Kearns. I'm one of the pastors here. I was just thinking as we were singing that song, I love watching football, and I love the 49ers, and I love by myself enjoying watching them. But what a different thing, right, when you're actually in the stadium with all the other people, being like, yeah, go 49ers, except when they choke, right? But I just feel like, you know, this morning I was spending time, my quiet time praying for us, praying for you, and what a different encounter that is when we get to join together with God's people and together collectively worship. Oh, what a gift. So thanks for being here. I'm satisfied. I can go home now. Okay. Really quick, by a show of hands, how many of you are oldest children? Who's the oldest in your family system? All right. Who is the baby? Who's the youngest in your family system? All right. Any only children? And a few only children. Yeah. So isn't that wild? Like every family system kind of has this unique thing about how oldest people and youngest people and, oh, just kidding, middle children, any middle children? Sorry, I didn't want to make it feel like normal for you. Ha ha, just kidding. Well, I want to tell you a story about the youngest child. So imagine the youngest. If you're the oldest, the middle, the youngest, right? We all kind of have a way in which we imagine how people are treated. Well, this is a story of the youngest child. This is the youngest son of eight brothers. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being the youngest son of eight brothers? There's seven older brothers than you. You're the youngest, you're the smallest, you're the weakest. And this, imagine this boy. So this is like 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, this little village outside of Jerusalem. And there's this little tiny village, and there's this little home that has this giant family. Now, most of the brothers are already old and they're out in the fields or they're doing part of the family business. Some of them are in the army. Some of them are shepherds. And this youngest son, you know, imagine him being 8, 9, still a boy, still hanging out at home, still with mom. And his mom happens to be this beautiful singer like Linda, right? Just this beautiful singer. And this boy goes, you know, takes her instruments, takes her harp, her lyre, and is practicing playing. And he enjoys spending time with his mom. He actually has a knack for singing and has this beautiful voice. But not only is he a good singer, he's also a good athlete. And him and all the other boys, right, they throw in rocks, they're throwing sticks. They've gotten really good at using this thing called a sling, right, where they can just like whip a rock as hard as they can. And they're trying to hit a tree. They hit a tree 5 feet away, 10 feet away, 100 feet away. And this guy, he's just cranking it. He's just 10. He's just having the best life, right? Because his older brothers, they're doing all the work. But he's still a kid in the Jewish world. And he is singing songs. He's throwing rocks, getting into trouble. Well, soon enough, he turns 13, right? He has his bar mitzvah. He becomes a man. And even though he'd been out in the field with his older brothers here and there, he's just a kid, right? But now he's 13. Now it's on him. He is now the one responsible for all of his family's flock. And thankfully, he's prepared. He's been preparing his whole life for this, right? He's been singing songs. He knows how to be by himself. And not only does he like singing songs, being by himself out there in the wilderness has caused his heart to grow and to stir. He's become this person who just loves God, loves poetry, loves thinking about who God is and worshiping God. And so while he's out there, most people are like, I hate being outside by myself. He finds that he loves it, right? He's enjoying this. And not only that, he's a stud, right? He can throw the sling at anything, any lion, any bear, any animal. Like he is not scared at all. He can just murder him, no problem. Because that's what he's doing. He's 13. He's a stud, right? Our 13, when my son was 13, I was like, what are you doing with yourself? You know, but this guy, he's out there and he is crushing it. Well, he's out there, year after year, and as he's getting older and older, all of his older brothers are getting conscripted to be in the army because there's this giant war that's happening between Israel and the Philistine army. And so all the older brothers, one by one, as they get older, as they get to be 20, they all get conscripted and go away. And so pretty soon, you know, David's the last guy standing watching the sheep. And so one afternoon, his dad calls him out and says, hey, David, I need you to come home. I need you to go out and take some food to your brothers. They're on the front lines of this war, and I need you to go check in on them, let them know I love you, mom's made some cookies, here's some food, and to go out. And so that's what he does. He goes out into this battlefield, and he finds his brothers, and he gives them their food, gives them their cookies, and they're all freaking out, right, that this battlefield, and they're like, what is happening? And David's like, what's happening? He's like, oh my goodness, there's this giant battle, but they have this giant guy, his name's Goliath, he's huge, his head is bigger than your whole body, and they're just freaking out, they're like, yeah, we are freaked out, and this big old giant is out there just mocking God's people, you know, just shaming them, mocking them, you think you worship this God, you're just talking garbage, or the whole thing, and everyone's like, we're not going out there, and David's like, yeah, I'm not going out there. And he takes his cookie and goes back home to the field. and watches the sheep, right? You're like, no, that's not how the story goes. No, that's not how the story goes at all, right? The story goes, David's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to take some business, right? He takes this sling that he's been practicing for a decade. He can hit a rock. He can hit a post. He can hit anything. Have you ever seen on YouTube someone fling a rock? It is no joke. And he flings this rock into Goliath's head, knocks him out. He goes over, cuts his head off, takes his giant head. He's like, yeah. And all of a sudden, he's on his way to become king. Whoa. Pretty amazing. But I think the reason is he goes and sees Goliath make fun of the people of God. And if he was a normal 17 or normal 19-year-old, he would have been like, yeah, I'm out. Like everybody else, I would have been out too. But he couldn't be out. And the reason why he couldn't be out is because he's not just a normal kid. He's not just a normal kid who has a beautiful voice, who sings songs, who's a great poet, who worships God, who's awesome with the sling, is responsible. But he has been called by God. No, wow. If he was just a normal guy, he'd be like, yeah, that's somebody else's problem. But what happened was when he was like 13, 14, 15, somewhere when he was a young kid, out of the blue, he gets called home from being out in the field, and the prophet Samuel shows up at his house. Samuel, like the prophet of God, the last judge of Israel, King Saul's trusted advisor, shows up at his house, and David's just coming in like, I'm just hanging out in the field. And he's like, you are going to be the next king of Israel. Whoa. He's just like a kid. He's a kid. His older brothers, they're the ones who are men who are doing all things. And Samuel says, you are going to be the next king of Israel. And everyone's like, no, not David, not David, not David. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. This is talking about Saul. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but where does the Lord look? At the heart, right? We look around and we go, David's a little kid, Saul's tall and handsome, this is how the world's gonna work. God's like, no, that's not how it works. God says, people look like that, I look to the heart, and when I looked across the land, I saw this kid who loves me. He's this musician, this poet who worships me, who's connected to me, who has a heart for me, who's brave, who's courageous, and he can sling a rock like nobody's business. He is going to be the next king. And sure enough, Samuel shows up to David's house and says, you're going to be the next king. Now, here's what's brutal. He doesn't get to go and be the next king. He actually goes back to the field, has to keep doing homework and chores and the whole business, right? And it wasn't until later, right, that God orchestrated this entire chaotic, wild plan that he ultimately becomes king. It wasn't like for 15 years. For 15 years, he lived with this tension of like, God called me to be this person. And it wasn't for 15 years till he actually got to be that person. But the reason why he got to be that person is because he was faithful to the little and tiny small things along the way. He was faithful for learning how to play the lyre. He was faithful in praying to God and writing songs of worship. He was faithful in practicing the sling. He was faithful. And when there was a time to have his faith tested with Goliath, he stepped into it and he crushed. Isn't that an incredible story? And I love that story because that is the story over and over and over again with the people of God, that the people of God are faithful to the small little things that God has called us to do. Playing the lyre, slinging the rock, caring for the sheep. But if that's all that we see, then we only do these small little things. What happens is if we combine the small little things that God calls us to be faithful to with the word from the Lord that you are God's woman, you are God's man, you have been designed by God to do something incredible for the kingdom of God. Maybe not for it to be YouTube famous, but for the kingdom of God. And if you have that worldview, then all of those little small things that you are being faithful to, the kingdom of God advances. And sometimes on this side of eternity, you actually go, oh my goodness, God did this thing. Goliath is down, or okay, I am king. Every now and then that happens. But for the most part, most of us live our entire lives of just being faithful and trusting that God's going to use that faithfulness. All the stories of scripture are that. The story of Moses waited 80 years until all those promises came to him. Joseph, other people, Ruth, same thing, right? Just story after story, people just being faithful and God using their faithfulness over and over and over again. Well, I say all that because we are wrapping up the middle section of this passage in Romans, Romans chapter 12. It says this, verse 4, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. For just as each is one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." That is what God has been causing us to study these last couple weeks. And today we're going to begin to think about putting a little point on the end of that. Because each and every one of you has been uniquely designed by God with some special gifts, with some special abilities, with some unique passions in this moment. And we want to be the kind of people that go, no, we don't just faithful in these things, but we recognize that we are called by God, uniquely called by God to be the women and men to be used by him in this time and in this place. And so in a minute, later on, we're going to walk through this so that by the end of this service, you're going to have a running start of this. But I just want to show you where we're going to head to. So I'm going to invite up some of my friends. You guys can come up. We do a discipleship cohort, which I hope you sign up for in April. And at the end of the discipleship cohort, we come up with a statement about how we're uniquely designed so that we can be people who use our gifts called by God to go and be God's people in the world. And so these are some star students in Kyle. Just kidding, Kyle. Just kidding. And what I thought would be fun is, because it's easy for Jeff and I mean, we're paid by you to just spend so much time thinking and wrestling and trying to be the Samuels of our church, which is an awesome gift. But what I love is these are incredible women and men who are normies just like you, who have kids, who have jobs, who have challenging spouses. Just kidding, I love Dan. We're all good to go, right? Who just have normal lives, and in their normal lives have recognized they've been uniquely called by God and want to put those their calling into practice. And so what I thought we'd do is we just go around, and if you'd be willing to start out reading kind of your statement, kind of a statement of design, and let's hear those first, and then we'll talk about how we got there, okay? So why don't we start with you, Kyle, and then we'll go Debbie and then Allie.
Good morning, everyone. So my statement is, God has uniquely designed me to have a merciful heart and a gift for creating welcoming spaces where deep connections can be established. He has blessed me with a gift of faith, allowing me to trust that he is always in control and discernment to recognize his presence when he is at work in my life. Through his perfect timing, I've been able to confidently share with others how he has transformed my life and reveal his unconditional love, ultimately helping to grow the body of Christ.
Love that. It's thick. They've had like a year to work on it, so don't even worry about it.
But it's still a work in progress, obviously.
I love that.
But
thanks, Kyle.
It's come
all right,
a long way.
Debbie.
God has uniquely designed me to trust God wholeheartedly because of his expressed love for me. He gives me impressions, insights, words of encouragement, guidance, and comfort that I can share with others regarding their specific circumstances without fear. Because God's character has been revealed to me over and over again in my life, I can believe him fully to be at work in the lives of others.
Yeah, I love that. And just a quick little brag of Debbie. What I love about Debbie is she's been loving Jesus for so long to go, all these like data points in my life go, oh, I have actually insight and wisdom. And to go, now I'm going to double down on those things. I just think it's so cool. All right, Allie.
Well, contrary to what Ben thinks, I was not uniquely designed to be the mayor of Novato. So just wanted to clarify that from last week. but God has uniquely designed me to forge grace-filled friendships by creating a warm, inviting space where hearts can open in the light of Christ.
Yeah, I love that. That was nice and short. Will you just read it one more time? Because everyone's like settling in. Okay.
Oops. God has uniquely designed me to forge grace-filled friendships by creating a warm, inviting space where hearts can open in the light of Christ.
You know, I feel kind of bad because I love these people so much and you should know them and love them. But each of these statements like are so unique to each of you, to your histories, to your passions. And it's so fun to see how they like actually live out. And so I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about, the core of your statement is, hey, these are some of the spiritual gifts God has given me. And so how did you go about discovering your spiritual gifts, and where, like, is a practical way that you're putting those into practice? And so we'll start with you, Kyle, and then we'll just zip around again.
Yeah. So I remember kicking this whole process off, and I'm like literally Googling the list of spiritual gifts to try to start piecing things together and, you know, get the wheels turning. But it, for me, it really comes down to just continuous discussion and reflection. You know, with Pastor Ben and Jeff, with my circle of friends and family, with this cohort group that I'm going through this whole process with. And I feel like that's where things started to make a little more sense as I, again, pieced these kind of words together. Also, for me, it was like really revisiting a lot of these like moments in hindsight of where have I kind of played a key role in people's lives as they seek and get to know God. And again, you start to kind of fill in these blanks with these words. Each start to rise to the surface more than others in that narrative. So again, tons of reflection, lots of discussion, open and vulnerable discussion, frankly, just to kind of understand, you know, where other people see me fitting into this as well. You know, and getting that affirmation is always helpful, of course.
I love that. And what's so fun is we actually have conversations. And so, you know, Kyle will be like, oh, and then this, and this. And you're like, okay. But then it'll be like, oh, and actually, and they'll share some other part. And like, no, my goodness, that is it, right? Because as you verbally process, you get some outside opinions to share those things. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, every conversation is like, well, that is where God shows up. That's where God shows up. I love that.
Yeah, and to answer your other question, I think as far as putting it into practice, again, it's praying super intentionally that God continues to reveal that and reinforce that. And also continuing to engage in those intentional conversations and really being intentional with time as well, whether it's on a daily basis, a weekly basis. What does that continued dialogue look like where there's depth that I can continue to lean into those gifts at the same time?
I love that. Thanks, Kyle. And I think if you were here earlier, Pastor Jeff mentioned, you know, it's like being reflective. Everything that you just did it's hard work. Like, being reflective is a muscle, and it just takes practice. And so even if you're like, I have no idea where to begin, like, it's just, you just begin. And it's a muscle you get better and better and better at. And so to not be discouraged or disheartened, just to be like, oh, I'm in the beginning of also this reflection journey as well. And so thank you for putting all that hard work into it. All right, how about for you, Debbie?
I would say discovering gifts has been mostly in relationship, small groups, Bible studies, people, you know, that I have relationships in the body, and feedback from them, you know, as far as, like you said, you know, where you're seeing those gifts and that, oh, it's that, you know, because a lot of times you'll be engaging or doing things and you don't feel the fruit or the growth, and then suddenly something clicks. And that's, I would say, and then of course the discipleship cohort helped sort of focus it for me, but actually putting it into practice requires those disciplines that we've been talking about for, you know, the last few months. Yeah. That without those disciplines being constant, you know, they can fade down and be untuned, and then it's the disciplines that sort of make them come up and work in the groups that you're in and the relationships you have and even at work and other places.
Well, and what I love, Debbie, is like you have so many incredible gifts and you're such a wise leader and an encourager and developer of people, but your core gift is that you love the scriptures and you love the insights that come from scriptures. And no matter what season you're in, no matter where your kids are at or where your life is at, you're like, I'm always going to be leading a Bible study. I'm always going to be making space for, like, and every Bible study you lead is always this wide open net for anyone who wants that. And I just love your generous heart combined with your gifts means that, like, that's the lane that you get to come alive in and serve our church in. And I appreciate
that. Well, and that came from somebody doing it for me.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's been passed down.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I think, you know, a combination of both of these guys, you guys are doing great. So, I mean, I think prayerfully taking inventory just of my life, just as it is and what's in it, you know, community, you know, we, with the cohort, we learned about rules of life and really extracting what is important and meaningful and what we want to continue on. Part of what taking inventory to me was even just of how God has showed up, what he's blessed me with. And one thing that really hit home was just roots here. He blessed me with roots here and this longevity of friendships, and it's made it really safe for me to be vulnerable. And so to create that safe space for other people, you know, with student ministry, like creating that space for children's ministry so that they can, you know, grow towards, you know, towards Christ.
Yeah. So. And what I love about your heart for community is like all of your friends on P's softball team and soccer team, like you make a community there. Selfishly, because you're a part of our church, every grouping of our church, that you make it feel like home because you're just so heart forward and have such compassion and kindness for everyone you interact with. And then because of that, you raise the spiritual temperature and you help people actually have a broader worldview because of that. So thank you. I mean, I could sit up here all day with you guys and love that. What I'm excited for is we're going to actually make it so that we all do the same thing. Would you just give them a giant warm thank you for doing this? Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. Good job. Thanks, Kyle. Love you, dude. You know, it takes a lot to sit on that couch and have the big light in your face, and it's not everyone's spiritual gift to have to speak in public like that. But thank you for doing that. I think it's such a helpful beginning way to think about what it means to just be a normie. How does a normie get to be used by God? And the truth is, the kingdom of God advances when it's all of the normies using their gifts in the very small and faithful ways. And for those of you guys who've done Strength Finders, you know what's so fun is once you say your strength out loud, once you go, oh, these are my five strengths, then you're like, oh, I'm going to do that more and more. Oh, there's an opportunity for that. I'm in. There's an opportunity for that. I'm in. Oh, an opportunity for that. That's not one of my strengths. Somebody else is going to do that one, right? And I really hope you do the class with Jeff and Lisa to figure out what those strengths are, because that's just another tool, another gift to go, this is what I am. And so what we're going to do is we're going to spend a few minutes kind of walking through this little worksheet. As you can tell, I do not have the spiritual gift of design. Sorry, Paulina, that is just butt ugly. But it works, and you can make it work for you. But we're going to do a little Mad Libs, because you're going to realize they came up with very poetic, beautiful statements. But their statements began with a very rough framework. And so I thought it'd be kind of nice for us to build a framework. And then we're going to do a Mad Lib. So basically, we're going to do three parts. One is you want to think about, gosh, what are my spiritual gifts? What are the things that God has uniquely designed me to do, to be about? And then the second part of what are some of my unique passions? What are the things that God's uniquely given me a passion and a heart for? And then, gosh, if I combine those things and put those into practice today or this season or my entire life, what is that going to be? Okay? So the very first thing you do is it says this: God has uniquely designed me with the spiritual gifts of blank, 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 and given me a kingdom heart for blank and blank. And then to live out my unique design, I will bless the church or expand the kingdom of God by doing blank in this coming week. And really, that's what we want spiritual gifts to be. Spiritual gifts are designed by God to do one of two things, which are kind of the same thing, which is one, to strengthen the church, to give encouragement to the church, to build the church, and or to also be part of expanding the kingdom of God so that the kingdom of God is always expanding. So it's not just about Marin Covenant, it's about the kingdom things, about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with our God. So the first thing we're going to do is I'd like you to open up your little flyer handout. Last week we just kind of walked through all these spiritual gifts. I rewrote out all the kind of main spiritual gifts that are found in Scripture. But again, there's also some ones that maybe aren't found in Scripture, because this list is from 2,000 years ago, right? So maybe there's some other things that you might go, I crush at tech or social media or data analytics or Excel or I don't know, other things, right? So I wanted to give you a little space too, but let's just, if you just spend one whole minute, grab a pen, read through this list, and just circle one, two, or three of the ones that stand out to you and go, oh my goodness, this might be me, or I resonate with this, okay? It doesn't mean you're a spiritual Superman. It just means, no, these resonate with me, okay? So go ahead and circle one, two, or three. All right, Jim, what was one that you circled, or what's one that resonates with you? Oh, nice, Jim. I go, Jimmy's like, he means you, Jimmy. No, Big Jim. Come on, you can't throw your kid under the bus like that. Wisdom, I like that. Janet, what's one that you circled? I didn't mean to bust you up, but what's one that you circled?
Oh, I made one up.
You made one up. Yeah, perfect. What did you make up?
Ordering.
Okay. We'll have to have a coffee so I want to hear about that. But you're like, this makes sense to me. I like it. Okay, ordering. Perfect. Luce, what's something you circled?
Craftsmanship.
Yes, craftsmanship. That's the one I wish I had, and I do not have at all. I love that. All right, Patrick, what about you? What's one that you circled?
Mercy.
Mercy. I love that. Andy, what's one that you circled?
Word of knowledge.
That's so fun. When you look at this list and you just think, this kind of resonates with me. This kind of resonates with me, right? Michelle, what's one that you circled?
Hospitality.
Oh, yeah. Easy. You're like, check. Hospitality. Perfect, right? Okay, so what's so fun is when these begin to resonate with you, then you're like, oh, okay. So if there's an opportunity for hospitality, that's it. When there's a bunch of people all in a conflict or having a conversation and they're trying to figure something out, and Andy's like, I actually have a word of wisdom, but I'm just going to be quiet and see how this plays out. No, God's like, no, Andy, open your mouth and help this thing move along, right? So that's the first thing, right? So we want to start thinking, what are our spiritual gifts? And what's really fun is you can just simply go to Google and say, what's a free spiritual gifts test? Sabrina asked me, hey, what's the spiritual gifts test that you and Jeff sign off on? I'm like, we don't sign off on anything. But I Googled and I said, here's five you can take a look at, right? And you just Google them for free. And then there's other ones that you can pay for. But what's so fun is everyone shared up here is part of it is what resonates with me. But then you do that in community because sometimes what resonates with you, someone might be like, I don't think so, right? And helps you go, no, but the thing you don't see is actually this. You didn't even know, right, that mercy was your spiritual gift, but it actually is your spiritual gift, right? Okay, so that's the first part of this, which is actually kind of the easier part because you're like, yes, this is it, this is not it, this is it. The second part's a little bit more complicated. So if you turn this over, the next question is, what is your kingdom heart? What does God uniquely kind of put on your heart to do? I always think about this when I was in college. I was at church and a missionary from Mongolia came and they were like, we got to go to Mongolia. We got to help these people in Mongolia know Jesus. I'm sold out for it. You should be sold out for it. We should all be going to Mongolia. Like he was just so fired up because he was called by God to go to Mongolia. But the way he was talking is like, if we all go to Mongolia, who's going to stay here? You know, like not all of us can go to Mongolia, but in his world, he's like, no, we all have to go to Mongolia. So the reality is what is the thing that you are most uniquely passionate about? And what's so fun is that's what God has called you to do in the body of Christ. So let's walk through these questions. What breaks your heart and stirs a deep burden in you? When you start beginning to think, gosh, what is the thing that causes my heart to be aligned with God? A great starting point is, what breaks your heart? Something to think about: injustices, suffering, problems in the world that you just can't ignore. Isn't that funny? Sometimes there's problems that you very easily can ignore and someone else cannot at all. You're like, how could you not see this? Does anyone have an example? What's something that you just immediately wrote? You're like, this is a problem I cannot ignore.
Trafficking.
Yeah, human trafficking. Yeah, Craig.
The erosion of our family values.
Erosion of family values, yeah.
People feeling left out.
People feeling left out, right? Isn't that crazy? In this room, I'm going to stop. I want to be a part of the solution to stop human trafficking. And I don't want people to be left out. And the body of Christ needs all of us, right? So that's one thing to be thinking about. Another way is, what do you feel most alive and energized when serving others? When do you feel most alive and energized when serving others? So when you're actually serving, there's sometimes you serve and you're like, this is the worst, but sometimes you're like, whoa, this is pretty great. All right, so think about time. Right, this is reflecting on activities or moments that make you lose track of time and give you joy while helping others. Who has an example? When's the time that you feel most alive and energized in serving? Yeah, Arbor.
When people taste my food and they're like,
Yeah, isn't that fun when you cook food and someone's like, that is it? And you're like, I should do this more. I love that. What else? Yeah, Randy.
Witnessing.
Yeah. See, I love that. Randy's like, if I'm out there sharing the gospel, I'm like, I'm coming alive. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, don't talk to me, right? I love that. We need both of us. Yeah. Yeah, helping people need. And then when you even make it more specific, children, right? Like, how great is that? We have a whole ministry downstairs. They're like, yes, we need you. I love that. All right, here's another question. What recurring strengths or gifts do people continue to affirm in you? And this is what's so fun. And you know, a lot of times we beat ourselves up and go, oh, I'm not that good, or I don't really know. We self-deprecate, or we just deprecate, you know, all the time. But to think about, gosh, I keep getting affirmed in this. And what's hard is sometimes we want to be affirmed in some things that maybe that's not our thing. And so we get so messed up because I want people to affirm this in me. That's not my thing. But to begin to pay attention, what are some things that people affirm in you? How good your food is, right? Everyone's like, oh, that is good. Or maybe Arbor's like, I love cooking food. And everyone's like, we'll see, right? But that's the thing, we need that kind of feedback. I'm sure it's great, I'm just giving you a hard time. All right, so who wants to share? What are a couple of things? What are some things that people affirm in you? Every time you do this, people are like, oh, thank you for that. Who'd be willing to share?
Teaching the Bible.
Teaching the Bible, yeah, when David's like, yeah, I'm doing this, people are like, gosh, thanks for hosting us, thanks for helping us understand that. Who's in the back? Alicia. Helping others what?
To feel seen.
Helping others to feel seen, right? When you help others to feel seen, people, gosh, Elisa, you're always there and you do it with such compassion and grace. I love that, right? All right. Who do you feel most drawn to love and serve? I love that. You know, right? When you start thinking, we serve the world, but then you start like narrowing it down. Is it kids? Is it the elderly? Is it your neighbor? Is it your family? Is it your wife, right? Who, like you just, what? Who is that? So instead of, again, the big bad world, I have the gift of whatever, but then you start thinking, you narrow down, who do you feel more strong to serve? And I love this. When have you felt, I was made for this, right? And again, we have to grow our muscles of reflection because most of us just blaze through our life and we don't even think of, gosh, yesterday was an awesome day. Yesterday was like, we don't even think about yesterday. We're like, on to the next thing. But what's it like when you actually go, oh my gosh, when I did that, I was made for this. You know, it was a surprising one for me. I hate going to the hospital. And my daughter hurt herself doing cheer because she's a stud. And we went to the hospital together. I owe you $5. I know because I wasn't going to say this. But I'm like, because it's funny. I don't think I was made to go to the hospital. But you know what? I was for sure made to hang with my daughter and to spend money on her. Like, I was like, that was the best 4 hours of my life. I hate the ER. And I knew it wasn't bad. So I'm like, yeah, made her hang with me for 4 hours. Made for it, right? All day, every day. I could see my son at college next week. Made. I'm like made to be with my kids. When they were 10, not so much. But now, made for it. Okay? So what's interesting is when you start thinking of those things, you start coming up with those things, then you'd be like, what is the thing I'm most passionate about? Okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to turn your paper over and fill in the blanks. And you think of this, with the spiritual gifts of, go ahead and write in your blanks, write in a couple of the things that you circled. And that part's the easy part. The second part is, and then it's given me a kingdom heart for what? For serving the poor, to be a part of human trafficking, to care for those people in need, to love children, to love my kids, to make sure people have a great experience at church and make coffee, right? What is it that God has given you a kingdom heart for? And write a couple of those things down. And so then what happens is then you now have this rubric when you think, okay, I have these gifts. And because I have these gifts and I have these passions, because someone with the same passions and different gifts, it's going to look totally different. Someone with the same gifts and different passions is going to look different because God has uniquely designed you. You're the unique person that God has activated and called to be his person in this moment, in this time, in this place. And so how has God used your gifts with your passions? How does God want to activate it this week or in this season? You think, gosh, if I was going to put that into practice tomorrow at work or this next week or this next month, what is it? Okay, would anybody be so bold to try to do their whole Mad Lib? Okay, Mobina, you got to stand up and say it really loud.
Showing more compassion and patience towards the people in my life and people that I don't
I love that. And that your job is already dialed in because you're already with kids and caring for that. I love that. Thanks. Let's give snaps for Mobina. That was awesome. Right out of the gate, star student. I love that. All right, how about this? One more. Someone else be willing to share? I know it's kind of gutsy. It's just for a Mad Lib. I know, a little gutsy. All right, Mike, let's hear it.
God has uniquely designed me with spiritual gifts of teaching, knowledge, and evangelism, and given me a kingdom heart for teaching and serving. To live out my unique design, I will bless the church or expand the kingdom of God by doing our small group with our young adults ministry in the coming week.
I love that. Already, that's tomorrow already, isn't it? I love that. Thanks, Mike. Good golf clap. Good job, everybody. What I love is, I mean, this is it. And like I said, reflection is, it's a muscle, and it takes effort and it takes work. And you have to know that Pastor Jeff and I, any of our pastors, our staff and our team would love nothing more than to walk with you, to give feedback to you, to help you go, oh my goodness, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm made to do. And this is what I'm going to put it into practice. How sad would it have been if David would have shown up at the battlefield and saw Goliath and was just like, somebody else's problem, right? The whole kingdom of Israel would have been on a different track. But instead, because Samuel said, no, you are God's anointed. Not only does he have gifts and talents, but he knew that he was called by God for that unique moment. And you just have to know, I think when I think of what wakes me up in the morning, why I love my job, why I want to come to my job, is because I feel like at my best, I get to be Samuel. I actually am not David at all. I'm Samuel. And I get the opportunity to walk with people and say, oh my goodness, Amber, you are uniquely designed by God. Right? Greg, you are uniquely designed by God to do these things. And the joy and the excitement when people go, yes, I am uniquely designed by God to do these things, and then to go out and to become God's people. Because the reality is that the kingdom of God advances, not when we have a great Sunday morning, not when we have an incredible hour of worship. This is a great shot in the arm. These are the ways to remind ourselves of the truth, to be exactly know what God has for us. But the rest of the week is for us to be God's women and to be God's men. And the kingdom of God advances when all of us are faithful to the very small and simple things that God has put in front of us. Every now and then there's a Goliath, and the Goliath might be for your kids. It might not even be for you. It might be for your kids. We are to be faithful to the very small things, and God is the one who's going to use those things for his glory. Jeff mentioned this quote earlier, and I just want to wrap up my sermon and our time together with this quote. This is from Teresa of Avila, excuse me. It says this, that Christ has no body now but yours. He has no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he has compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. For you are his body. For Christ has no body now on earth but yours, but ours. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father and our gracious God, you are such a good Father, and you give us such good gifts. And you just pour out love and grace and mercy and blessing. And I just pray that we would continue to mature as your children, to not just be the 10-year-old versions of ourselves, but to be the bar and bat mitzvahs versions of ourselves, the adult versions of ourselves, who take all of our gifts, all of our passions, all of our blessings, and use them for the family business of expanding the kingdom of heaven on earth for your glory. I pray that you would use each and every one of us. For those of us who are reflection masters and are ready to leave tomorrow doing exactly what you called us to do, and those who are the baby steps in this process of reflection and figuring this out, I pray that you would extend just patience and grace and mercy for the process. But more and more and more, God, I pray that we would be a church where each of us does our part because we belong to one another, because we belong to you. And everything that we do in word and deed would give your son Jesus all the honor and all the glory, both now and forevermore. And let the church say amen, amen. And amen.